G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello. Welcome. Welcome back, perhaps. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this video. Today is going to continue on our snapshot series in the writings of Luke. We're looking at Luke chapter 2, from the top, verses 1 through to 7. Now, I have a little section in my Bible, a little heading. It says, Christ born of Mary. This is it, folks. This is the moment. This is the all-important moment where we see elsewhere in Scripture where God literally stepped out of heaven and came into the world as a man, as a baby, that we would have, oh boy, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who then paid that ultimate price for us. We'll come to that further into the book, of course, but this is the moment. I think I might ask, before we dig into it, if you haven't read this section of Scripture recently, please, just pause for one moment. Have a read of verses 1 through to 7. That's what we're looking at today. And then we'll come back and we'll look at some notes. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's go. Verse 1, Luke chapter 2, it came to pass in those days, this is continuing the story, that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world, that's the known world obviously, should be registered. This census first took place, this is the first time, not the last, we'll see elsewhere in Scripture, while Quirinius was governing Syria, and so verse 3, all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. I'm going to pause there for one moment. This is one of those moments in Scripture that I absolutely love. I'm a bit of a history buff, and I'm going to try not to go full nerd on you at the moment, but I grew up 6 years of ancient history in high school, loved all of that kind of stuff. But I see here an intersect point. It is a moment where scriptural history intersects with secular history. And that is important for us who want to read and understand the Bible because it allows us to learn more of culture and context and time and place and background and all of these different things. And so we see here that a decree went out from the emperor at that time, Caesar Augustus. Now that is an interesting thing, and I'm going to spend just a moment explaining how he came into power because, as you will see, this is incredibly relevant to what we see in today's snapshot. Caesar Augustus, Emperor of Rome from 27 BC through to 14 AD. So we've got, you know, two, three decades before Christ and a decade and a half or so. We don't know exactly when Jesus was born after Anno Domino, that's the AD. He wasn't born with that name, though. He was born Gaius Octavius, or Octavian, and he was actually, listen carefully, Julius Caesar, who was ruler of Rome at the time. He was Julius Caesar's niece, actually the son of Julius Caesar's niece, which makes him Julius Caesar's, let's get this right, great-nephew. Okay. He's out there in the family, but still born into the family, political royalty. That's first point number one that I want you to hear and remember. At that particular point of time, Julius Caesar didn't have a son. Well, actually, no, that's not correct. He had a son, but an illegitimate son. And this illegitimate son was actually born with Queen Cleopatra of Egypt. Now, if you hear those two different names, Julius Caesar and Cleopatra, when I was growing up as a boy, these names were the stuff of legends. Movies were made about them. Books were written about them. Stories were told about them. They helped shape the time, the place, and the culture that Jesus is then born into. And this young boy becomes a part of that story, because at age 18, young Gaius, now a young man, Octavius, is adopted by Julius Caesar because he had no legitimate son who could hold office. Now, Rome was still a republic at that time. It wasn't set up in the way that we might know from the Bible, emperor, son of, emperor, and so on. No, it wasn't like that. It was very, very different. But Julius Caesar adopted young Octavian, young man, and he was then renamed Gaius Julius Caesar Octavius. This gives him a full title, allowing him to receive an inheritance on the passing of Julius Caesar. Now, what's really curious is literally within a year, Julius Caesar is assassinated. Then we've got a problem. And the problem was, who is going to take power? Well, that was the question they were asking back then in Rome. Who's going to take over power? And it literally brought about a 20-year civil war. The unrest and, look, civil war, how else do you explain it? This was not a nice time to be around in Rome. But as it turns out, and I'm not going to go into the details of it, it turns out that this, well, once young man, but now Gaius Julius Caesar Octavius, remains and appears and stands as victor in Rome. And then he is appointed emperor. Ah. And Rome changes from being a republic to an empire. And his name then is given Caesar, because of his name adopted by Caesar Augustus, which was a title of position, a title meaning the reverend one, the revered one, the venerable, suggesting divine favor. So why? Why tell you all of this? Hang in there. We'll come to that in just one moment. Hold that thought. The census took place when Cornelius was governing Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own city. And I mean, this was Caesar Augustus, smart man. Smart man. This is for taxation purposes. We see similar mention in Acts chapter 5. And this additional revenue comes in, you know, for funding roads and military and public works throughout the empire. Good thing for the roads, because in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, Bethlehem is where King David was from, hence why it's called the City of David. Let's pause there another moment. If you're taking notes, please jot this down for me. Micah 5:2. The Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. We read something. Oh, I like this. But you, this is prophecy, Bethlehem Ephrathah, meaning Bethlehem of Judea. There are a few cities named Bethlehem, and this is referring to specifically the city of David. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one, this is it, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And this is a prophecy written 700 years earlier by the prophet Micah, saying that Bethlehem was to be the birthplace of the Messiah. And so Joseph and his now betrothed wife Mary, we've gone through those terms beforehand, travels. Mary didn't have to go, but Joseph did. And of course, Mary being betrothed and full with child nearby, we would see, they go on this journey, 4 to 6 days. Not an easy journey. This is not a light stroll. It's like a 4 to 6 day walk, depending on which route that they should take, valleys and hills and so on. But they go there. And so it was, we read in verse 6, that whilst they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. Notice firstborn. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, which was basically just a food trough in a stable, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here's the thing. Caesar Augustus, at this point of time, the most powerful man in the world. A single word. He commands all people everywhere to go to their hometown for counting. And at the time of Jesus' birth, the Roman Empire was the largest, the most powerful empire that the world had ever seen to that point. Both in terms of territory, infrastructure, administrative control. It's hard for us to comprehend the enormity of the Roman Empire. Perhaps the best example I can give just quickly is that the population of Rome itself at this time, the population, it wasn't surpassed in terms of largest population ever in any given city until literally 20th century New York. Imagine that. Rome was so big, so many people. It was the largest city by population for nearly 2,000 years until 20th century New York. But here's the thing. Mary and Joseph, they lived in this backwater hill country, a tiny place called Nazareth. I'm sure they would have been happy to stay there. But the prophecy from 700 years ago said the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so God, by the power of his mighty hand, sees that decades earlier, the ruler of Rome, Julius Caesar, would adopt a teenage boy and name him heir. And God sees to it so that through 20 years of strife and civil war, that this boy, now a man, emerges victor and is appointed emperor of the largest nation that the world has ever seen. And then God sees it that an edict, a decree is made calling all men back to their hometowns right around the time that the child, the Messiah, is to be born. God in human form, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Our God, our Lord, our Jesus. What's this got to do with us? If he makes a promise, he keeps it. All right. God bless, folks. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.